Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ow! There we go.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Funk Friday, Falcons Friday, live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come by and see us. Some already have.
Yeah, man.
Some already have, and they've dropped off gifts, and the show just started 2 seconds ago. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man. Soka and his pops, they, you know, we said something, and, you know, I love hats. I wear one every single day. Got rows and rows of hats. And so I said this, like, maybe last week. I was like, damn, I need some new hats. And he obviously came to start the show and brought me some hats with Reese on the cover of it. Obviously, it's coming that his pops works for. So I do appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man.
Brought one for everybody.
How nice is that?
Hell yeah. But it is a Funk Friday, getting ready for a good football weekend. A stressless Saturday because dogs aren't playing.
Yeah.
So I'll be.
It should be stressless for me as well.
Yeah. So I'll be hanging out, chilling. You know, it's going to be me and my guy Sampson.
Hopefully.
Me and my guy Sampson are going to be hanging out this weekend because his mom is gone. His mom and little brother are going to L.A. So me and my boy Sammy are going to be hanging out this weekend. Wants to go to Chili's, Andy.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't he?
Chili's has everything you could want.
Dude, he just asked me. He said,
baby back ribs.
Because he wanted to go to the movies. I was like, yes, you and your mama thing, but I'll go what you want to see. He wanted to go see the new Marlon Wayans movie. I was like, I ain't no real big Peele guy, movie guy.
What movie
What's
guy?
His name? Peele? Keenan Peele or something
like that? Oh, horror. He did horror
Yeah,
movies.
I ain't real big on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so we'll just figure it out.
Jordan Peele.
I ain't real big on the movies. And
I liked the first one. Yeah. Was it Get Out?
I like Get Out.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
yeah, I like that
confusing.
One. I don't know that I've seen any of the other ones, but Get Out. I like Get Out.
But no, so yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Obviously, the Falcons are going up to Charlotte, leaving tomorrow to go up there. Hopefully, they don't trick it off because this is like trick off stage for them most of the time when they got the good credit, and then they'll blow a game like this against a bad Carolina team. They got talent, but they're a bad damn football team.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good opportunity for this Falcons team to sort of take another step out of, hopefully, another step out of what has been their, you know, 7-year-long rut at this point.
Yep.
You know, the Falcons of the past handful of years would win a game like they did on Sunday night and get all the positive momentum going in their direction and then go up to Charlotte and, like you said, fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
So don't do that. No. Don't do that. Go up there and beat a team that you're better than. I know it's always hard to win on the road in the NFL for sure.
It is.
It's a desperate football team because they're 0-2. You cannot start a season 0-3 and have hopes. So desperation is real for the Carolina Panthers. The Falcons are favored by 5.5, so that's a pretty big spread on the road in division.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's a good opportunity to get to 2-1 and feel pretty good about yourself, given the way that things felt after that Week 1 loss to Tampa. So, yeah, man, it's a great opportunity for the Falcons. But again, like, there is always that hesitation of, until we see them do it enough times to where you can really believe that they won't.
Right.
There's that hesitation to be like, this is, and they never play great up there.
Correct.
Carolina is sneaky. Like you said, they have talent, not a great team, but they've got talented players. This is a good chance for the Falcons to sort of change that narrative of Falcons teams past and not lose this one.
Yeah.
You got to win this game.
Yeah, you need to win this football game. You are the better team, man. I think you have, they got really good game-wrecking individual players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Good young receiving core, but yet overall, their offensive line's banged up. You saw the damn Tampa's offensive line being decimated also, but speaking of that this week.
That's kind of a trend across the league right now.
A lot of tackles are going down. Yeah, man, and you're trying to shift it out. And, exactly. So you're trying to shift all the guard back to center and all those different things. But, I mean, just when you look at as a whole, like, Like, is this coach? Is he the right coach up there in Carolina? I mean, I love Dan Morgan, their GM, but, I mean, is he – I mean, he's not going anywhere. But he had hired – did he – I don't even know if he hired Canales. He may have hired him. But, yeah, at the same time, this is not a good football team. Now, they got you last time here in Atlanta, and you played one of the worst games defensively. Guys were just running free. Bryce Young throwing touchdown pass, turning around, not looking. But for the most part, all of this is back that you played last year as far as the system, scheme, a lot of the players, except for, you know, the I was mix up the kid, the Arizona receiver.
Tet McMillan,
yeah. He's there. He's the new guy. He's their number one guy. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's off to a good start.
He's a good young player. But yet, so?
Right.
Yeah, Bryce Young's still a quarterback.
I'm not going to
take anything away from the young man has talent when he's not pressured.
Yeah, you can exactly.
When he's not pressured.
And that's why last year in Week 18 he looked so great. The best game he had.
There was no pressure on him.
There was no pressure at all. I mean, he sat there in the pocket and like he was in a lounge chair and spread it all over the field, threw five damn touchdowns that day. If that happens, we're going to be having a very uncomfortable conversation on Monday.
Yes.
I don't expect that to happen at all, and I think there was a lot in that as well. I mean, the fact that they lost the week before the way that they lost, it sort of ended their playoff hopes and all of that. Not to make excuses for it, but I think there's context in what happened in Week 18 last year that doesn't exist right now. This is a team that has everything in front of them and feels that way.
Right.
That was a team that knew the deal. Defensive coordinator was on the way out. Season was lost, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not to mention the personnel on the defensive side of the ball
was
in
bad.
Week 18 last year wasn't particularly good.
Exactly. Did you know that Judon – did you see Judon last night?
What? No.
I was like, that is – because you remember when he signed with Miami, I was like, I said, he's probably going to have the orange sleeves. I was like, that is him out there. He's out there covering kicks, everything.
Oh, he's doing everything, huh?
Yeah, man.
What were his sleeves looking like?
They were orange.
Or were they?
Orange
no,
sleeves,
I,
yeah.
I did not
yeah,
see that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Shaq Thompson was playing linebacker for the Bills.
Me either.
Until Tua threw that hospital ball, and Shaq lit that poor guy up.
Yeah,
like,
man.
That's a tough deal.
That's one of them things when you come back to the huddle. Because they've all done it. We've all got the crap knocked out of us. Because you go back to him, you ain't see him.
You didn't see that guy coming?
You see that guy.
Obviously not. And then Tua, if he needed to make the argument for himself, the pick he threw later, he could say, see, I don't see anything.
Dude.
I just throw the ball. I don't know where it's going.
I'll give it to Miami. That first drive, I mean, they came, and Mike had this team ready to play. I mean, the Bills are just so good. But for the Dolphins, and it ain't no damn, and no more victories and nothing like that in the NFL. You win, you lose. And it sucks. But they did completely different.
Yes.
Yesterday, as far as their fight, they were able to get Tyreek involved. They got Waddle involved. They were able to run the football. But the Bills are just so good. And James Cook, man.
Very good.
He's such a good player.
108 yards.
Such a good player.
Touchdown. Josh Allen, again, just very, very good. Three touchdowns again for him. And you're right. I mean, there's no moral victories. But from an analysis standpoint, you can look at it and say, well, that was a different performance from them against Buffalo. They still lost by double digits.
They did.
I mean, they had the ball with a chance to tie it in the fourth quarter, and that's when that Tua interception happened. Which, by the way, I mean, everybody kind of – it was going to happen
at some point. He's playing too good.
It was sort of a ticking time bomb at that point before something like that was going to happen. That's not a team that's quit on their coach. Now, I don't know if that may happen at some point over the next couple of weeks or months as they're 0-3 and you don't come back from 0-3 in the NFL. But, I mean, if you want to give them any credit, they played hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you – I mean, you at least they look better. Let's just say that.
They're still not good. They're not good.
Yes.
They looked better, and they tried hard.
Yes, they tried hard.
Well,
not a good thing to say about grown-ass men.
About a professional football team.
Grown-ass men getting paid millions of damn dollars.
No.
That's not a good look at all,
not
man.
Great.
But, the Buffalo Bills, I mean, they just look like they're the cream of the crop. The AFC East is awful. It is. It's awful. And they're going to go undefeated in the division, just unfazed by the Dolphins. I know they got to go down to Miami. Whatever.
I think they'll be all right.
I think they'll be fine. the Jets, whatever.
I don't know what time of year it is. It'll probably be nice to go down to Miami.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they are the cream. They are the cream of the AFCs. Don't know if they're of the AFC because I know they beat Baltimore, but I still like Baltimore.
I do, too.
I still like Baltimore.
I mean, I still think Baltimore played better in that game.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's not usually going to fumble
exactly
in that moment.
Yes.
Derrick Henry never fumbles.
Yes.
He hadn't fumbled in like 2 years.
And so you look at those type of scenarios or those type of situations.
But that's what those two teams do. do. Like, yes. When those two teams play each other, it's going to come down to something that never happens.
Right.
Like Andrews dropping a pass in the end zone when he's open, or Derrick Henry fumbling when he never does, or whatever. So maybe the Bills do something that they don't normally do, because I expect those teams to play again. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's in the AFC Championship later on this year.
But I'm going to tell you who's going to have something to say about it. That team at L.A.
Okay.
The damn Chargers.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just think with Jim.
That's why. Because Jim, they're well coached.
With their coach well. They play defense. Don't know how long Khalil Mack's going to be out. But the way Justin Herbert's playing and the way Greg Roman, I will raise my hand and say I'm surprised by it, because they can't run the football like they need to. But you think eventually they're going to be able to run the football, and if Herbert keeps playing the way he plays.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah, no, he's a really good player. And he's a guy that for years we've all kind of known was capable of things, but for whatever reason, talent around him, or he would make a mistake. And, we're not that far removed from him throwing four interceptions in the playoffs last year. Yeah. So, I'm not going to completely exonerate his record either, just for a 2-0 start. They play the Broncos, by the way, in Los Angeles on Sunday. That'll be a fun game between two pretty good teams. Now, the Broncos aren't off to a very good start.
No.
Bo Nix is playing terrible.
Bo Nix playing awful.
For a guy last year that surprised, I know me and you both, the way he played his rookie season, he's off to a really bad start.
Yes.
So that's got to get turned around if they're going to play better. But, lots of good ones on Sunday. Maybe a few less marquee games tomorrow than we're going to have a week from today. Week from today, we're going to be previewing one of the elite Saturdays maybe that we've seen in college football. But there's some really good ones tomorrow too.
Yeah.
And I know we'll spend quite a bit of time in the 12 o'clock hour and throughout the show picking games and talking about the college football Saturday.
The fun one for me is this Syracuse and Clemson game. Because you remember last year when Fran was like, "You welcome Dabo."
Yeah.
I wonder if Dabo's going to walk out. That's going to be the first thing when they see each other. Thanks for last year. Because remember, they beat whoever so Clemson could get into the championship game.
Right.
And so, and then
Fran's threatening folks?
Yeah, Fran, I'm going to tell you, Fran from around the way. Okay. All right. You can listen to Fran talk, all right, the way he walks. Fran from around the way. Fran said, if he find out y'all trying to steal
his
players.
Oh, yeah, he's from Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Around the way.
Okay.
If you tell him that if he find out that you poaching, trying to poach his players, that man said, "I'm going to come see you."
I mean,
Fran said,
you got to do something.
Fran said, "I'm going to come see you."
You got to do something. Like, some schools have billionaire boosters. Some schools have, great professional opportunities.
Yeah.
Some schools have a coach that'll fight you if you try to
poach. And I believe Fran from around the way.
I really hope, the next big-time coach thinks twice. He's like, "I don't know, man. Do we really need that left tackle?
I don't know, man.
Like, oh, he's great. I don't know, but Fran.
Fran
is going to fight me.
Fran said he's coming to see everybody."
I love Fran Brown. He's a great quote. And look, man, if they beat Clemson tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be. You think
what's Dabo going to say then?
Oh, no.
Who's he going to threaten next?
Oh, no.
All right. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a Funk Friday. Falcons Friday as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was definitely a promising, style of play that you want to have. We seen it coming last week. We saw the pressures from those guys, and those guys were able to get out there and do their, a good shot at it. And then this week, you finished. And,
right.
And then that's when everybody gets really excited. But to be honest, when you watch the tape from a week before in the loss, it was coming.
Right.
Bacon made some plays. And then you watch it this week, and you got a chance to finish. It was very satisfying.
Yeah, that's Raheem talking about the difference in the defense, but I think specifically the pass rush from week one to week two. We get it, pressures. We get it. You got to get pressures to get sacks, but pressures don't always turn into sacks. It's nice to get sacks,
yeah,
so we don't have to talk about pressures. And they did last week. That kind of feels a little bit like what you and Arch are saying about the red zone. This week is the plays are there.
Yeah,
like
they're there.
Whether the guys are open or the concepts are working, you just have to make the play.
Tink, what up, baby?
What's up, Tinker? You were getting pressures in week one. You finished the deal in week two. Last week, the red zone, whatever, was looking okay. You just didn't, whether it's pull the trigger or make the play. Hopefully, that shows up this week.
Yeah, I mean, that is the, you know, when self-scouting and all those things, why didn't this work right here? And the most important thing is for Michael to see it himself, because I'm sure he's like, damn.
Yeah.
If I was just, because it really wasn't no pressure or anything, but you just, you know, it was bam, let's get it out of our hand. And so, I mean, more than anything, you wanted to see him learn. And I hate calling it a mistake because he didn't throw. I mean, he made the play wasn't a bad play. You checked the ball down. But,
right. You just missed a potential touchdown.
Exactly.
Now, you didn't throw an interception, but you didn't make it.
Yeah. So, hopefully that he's continued to learn that. I mean, it's fifth.
What do you call that? Because obviously throwing the wrong interception would be a mistake.
You look at it as a miss.
Okay, miss. Okay.
Yeah, I just missed him. Damn. But it's not a mistake. You know? But, yeah, you know, you didn't take full advantage of the play or of the possession because you should have had a touchdown instead of a field goal.
Yeah, well, that's just one of those ones that really gets into the minutiae and the benefit of having someone that knows what they're looking at.
Right. Trusting it.
As opposed to, like, you know, because everyone knows what an interception is.
Right.
Everyone knows what a touchdown is.
Right.
But most plays don't end in either. Right?
Yeah.
You have to be able to, and obviously he was playing a pretty conservative brand of quarterback on Sunday against Minnesota. I think part of it was because they knew that they weren't going to give up any points to those guys. And I think part of it was because Bijan and Algier were cooking and the offensive line had it going. But then there's also those plays that maybe you don't make the throw. And then if, I don't know, somebody really knows what they're looking at and you're grading them like that, then it's like, all right, you didn't make a huge mistake, but it was there to be made and you didn't make
it. Right. And I think, you know, that goes back to just the growth and seeing it more, seeing it multiple times and just getting that rhythm where when that back foot hits, now it's like, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it rip.
Let it rip. Just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, he a fifth start, so he's going to continue to grow into the position of the quarterback position. But, you know, running the football helps. You know, running the football helps. Defense is playing back, not allowing that big play helps because that lightens the box. I'm so curious because, you know, I'm a big proponent. I think everybody knows of 12 personnel. Want to know if they're going to continue to do that, you know.
I would hope.
You know,
it worked out pretty good.
It's just a thought. You know?
Yeah.
You know, no pressure there, Zach.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no pressure.
No pressure.
But if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
Yeah.
You know. They ran more 12 personnel last week than they ever have before. And I think I read this. I know it was the most in the league this year, but it's only 2 weeks. It was the most a team had run it percentage-wise per plays because they ran it 55 times of the 60-something plays they ran since, like, 2017.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy. Yeah, like, you would think that somebody would.
But everybody's going back to – everybody wants to be an 11.
Yeah, everyone wants to spread it out.
Everybody wants to be –
get out there.
Yeah.
It worked.
It did.
You got that. You got Charlie Warner, who's basically like a fullback, tight end, whatever you want to call it. He's out there blocking.
Yeah.
Let him do it.
Yeah.
That's what he's great at.
He's good at it, Andy.
Yeah. Let him do it. Let him eat. All right. We'll get back into a ton of different Falcons topics throughout the show. Obviously, Falcons and Panthers on Sunday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Keys to the game coming up at 1:20.
Right.
We'll get back into an NFL no huddle in about half an hour as well. But before we do that, let's hear a little bit from what happened on Thursday Night Football.
Gilliam in motion, left to right, handoff to Cook, who goes into the end zone almost untouched for a 2-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen.
There we go. I didn't know they were doing that, but that's pretty good.
He was in the kitchen. All right.
Yeah, I'll say this. He's not getting paid. He's got his money.
Yep.
It's not enough.
Nope.
That man's worth every penny.
Dude, he's
what a great player.
He is playing his ass off. And I think, you know, it helps when you have Josh Allen because, I mean, the touchdown he threw, like, okay, you knew he was going to flick the thing, right? Because he couldn't get his arm around to throw it. So just go ahead.
What a cool play.
Just go ahead and flick it to him like that. They're playing. They're clicking, man. They're clicking. And he is, like, the confidence that he is playing with. You know, because, you know, there were things about him coming out and the interceptions and all of the other crap.
Accuracy.
Yeah. This dude's playing with so much damn confidence. He didn't really have to use his legs much yesterday. But, Buffalo's going to be a problem. And Buffalo's biggest thing is they want teams to come to Buffalo. So, you know, because they're in that weak-ass AFC East, and they got the one-up on Baltimore.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they got the one-up on Baltimore.
And there's only one team that gets home field.
Yes, and this, and I'm talking about this storyline of this year, because it's last year in that stadium. You know, I mean, it's so many damn storylines.
Funny how sports does this,
isn't
it?
Yeah, man. I thought about that this morning. It's funny how all that works out for them.
You were watching late in the game last night to the end on the Bills. Why did they show the wide right? Right before they kicked the field goal.
Because
what's the point?
Because you're an insensitive jackass.
Yeah. I was like, come on.
Who's the guy?
Like,
of all the things they could show,
they showed Scott Norwood.
Who's the guy in the truck that said, go to that?
I don't know.
Well, you know what I mean?
Like, and I didn't understand the timing of it and all of that. Like, I know it was the Al Michaels almanac or whatever they call it. He goes back in time. But, like, and there's a lot of different stuff they could have talked about right there.
Yeah,
I guess the field goal was the same distance, but I don't know. I was like, if I was a Bills, if the kid would have missed the field goal last night right after they showed that, Bills fans would have stormed the broadcast.
Hell yeah. You know, Al, because ain't no commentator in ball that chills more than Al.
Oh, I know. Al's doing great.
Al's like, man, damn, we got to go Buffalo.
Al's like, oh, Amazon Prime money? Great.
Oh, yeah,
Keep it rolling in.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I got to work with Herb Street. He's never done games before. I don't care.
Yeah,
let's do it. Or NFL games, sorry. He's done a lot of games.
It don't matter, man.
Anyway, Buffalo wins last night. They're 3-0. Miami loses. They're 0-3. Those are two teams in very, very different situations and in very different directions. A fun college football Saturday as well. No Georgia Bulldogs, as you said. But Roddy Nabalsi will join us in 10 minutes, get his thoughts on what happened last weekend. And, you know, a week off. Alabama next weekend, some other SEC stuff to talk about with Roddy, but Georgia Tech looks to follow up their biggest win in I don't know how long.
It's the biggest win of Coach Keyes.
Oh, without question. Yeah, I heard somebody say, might have been Mike Conte, biggest win since 1990. Now, there might be one in there.
That's something in between.
I don't have the almanac to tell you that one, but it's a huge win.
Yeah,
got to follow it up by beating Temple tomorrow.
Yeah, man. Go ahead and beat the hell out of Temple, which they probably – I think the line's 23.
23 and a half.
Okay, so, yeah, go out there and beat the hell out of them. Continue to get better offensively. Try to limit as many hits on your quarterback. I know Brent Key said –
sprinkle some Philo in there.
Yeah, with Duke Sabel that y'all are more worried about the hits than he is or we are. So, you know, rightfully so, you the coach. Get him out at halftime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let him get a half.
One of those 31-0 at the half or something like that or whatever. So, a big enough lead at the half to where you can feel comfortable doing that. Unfortunate end.
Oh, my God.
To the Atlanta Dream season. They, you know, obviously these three-game series are tough. They can go either way very quickly. And they won game one, and then they go on the road and really kind of get handled by Indiana. And then last night was back and forth. Tight one in the fourth quarter. They allow the go-ahead. But
they tricked it off, man.
I would say so.
They tricked it off.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the lead the whole game. You almost had 1 5-second violation.
Yeah.
Get timeout. Then you come back, and then you turn the ball over.
Yeah.
You throw the ball. I mean, first of all, congratulations to these ladies. And
it was a great season.
Complete turnaround, all those different things. But, yeah, last night sucked.
Yeah.
It really, really did. It sucked. But, you know.
Well, the frustrating thing is, you know, you watch enough sports to kind of feel momentum in games.
Yes.
With about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
It was sliding away. It was slipping away.
They are getting tense. They're getting empty possessions. Indiana's running their stuff a lot more. What's her name? Aaliyah Boston. Yes. Is that her name? Yes. She's just an absolute monster in the post.
That's
and it's
a
like,
bad
all right,
girl there, man.
Okay.
That's a bad
girl.
And
you
girl
could
there.
Just sort of see it slipping away, and unfortunately it did.
Yeah, man. So, but again, congratulations to them. I know they don't want to hear no congratulations and all that, but, I mean, just a great year, great turnaround. Shout out to all the Dream fans who always had that building just rocking, dude.
Yeah, that was one thing you could definitely see on TV last
night. Man.
It was pretty good in there. Hey, Clayton Kershaw says he's going to retire at the end of the year.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw the because they always have to do it like this. As great as he is, they had to put up his playoff record. It's like, come on, man. You ain't have to do that.
He's got a World Series.
Yeah, man.
Leave him alone.
I mean, is he the best pitcher of a generation?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, this dude is just
– Who else? Scherzer maybe,
but
DeGrom when he was healthy, but it was
hurt
a lot.
Clayton Kershaw was the best
pitcher.
He's just a different dude.
Yeah.
With that – whatever that is.
The big weird windup.
Yeah. The lefty coming and just – and just more folks down. So, yeah, congratulations to him. Great career. I mean, obviously, at the end of the season, they're about to go in the playoffs.
Yeah. So. And like kind of with the Bills story, you never know. maybe make one more run.
Maybe.
Not like I want them to. But
I mean, the way you said that.
Braves aren't in it, yeah, so.
So you wish you were rooting for the Dodgers?
No.
Oh.
No.
Are you rooting for the Mariners?
I guess so, yeah.
Are you rooting for the Mariners?
Probably, yeah.
Hey, Sports Talk of the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right, first hour of the show is always brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Roddy Nabalsi is going to stop by from UGASports.com, his normal Friday visit during football season. Obviously, no game tomorrow for UGA, but last week's win over Tennessee was so big, definitely worth talking about. And next week's matchup against Alabama is so big, we can start previewing that one too. So Roddy Nabalsi after this on Sports Radio 92.9.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get you and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a bye week feels like after a win like that.
Hell yeah, it does.
That was enough stress, I have to imagine, for a month of football, right? I mean, and
yeah,
you get a bye, and then you get Bama next week, so who knows?
Yeah,
right back into the stress cauldron, potentially. Roddy Nabalsi joins us on Fridays at this time to talk Georgia football, and even with Georgia having a bye tomorrow, still plenty to talk about coming out of last week. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fantastic. So much happier today than I would have been if that field goal had been made by Gilbert.
Sure.
It had been 2 weeks of everything sucks. Kill Mike Bobo. Get rid of the entire coaching staff. Georgia's terrible. It would have just been the hair pulling and gnashing of teeth would have just been awful. And right now, everybody's pretty happy. So it's a very good day. So, you got to be really excited about what you saw from Gunnar Stockton and Georgia's offense, but you also have to be a little terrified of what you saw in Georgia's secondary and the fact that you're prone to give up big plays pretty quickly in the back end. So a lot for Georgia to fix in the week heading into Alabama, but a lot of confidence that there's things that Georgia can fix. And, you know, your quarterback's not as bad as everybody thought he was after the first two games. So a little good, a little bad.
What do you think about that as far as, you know, the big plays that was given up by Georgia? I mean, obviously, Kirby's a bump-and-run, in-your-face, man-to-man type guy. And because this team doesn't get any damn pressure or anything, Rod,
yeah.
are you concerned about that cornerback position?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people kind of were down on Ty Simpson after the first couple weeks. But, I mean, I think he's completing like 80-something percent of his passes. The kid's pretty good. There's a reason, you know, Alabama wanted him so much. And, you know, you kind of showed a vulnerability that Kevin DeBoer will take advantage of. He's like, okay, here's what we can do. Worst case scenario, we'll throw it up and either get a 15-yard penalty or we'll complete a long pass. So you got to be concerned about that. Georgia's going to have to do something on its scheme to maybe give yourself a little protection to those guys on the island. Maybe not do that as much. Maybe you have to you've kept your safeties up to help with the run, but can't do that against Alabama. So if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm nervous. I'm not as – all the talk was about how bad the offense was or, you know, how Mike Bobo couldn't call the right plays or Gunnar Stockton couldn't throw it deep. Well, I think we've asserted that that's actually not true, but we always take Kirby Smart's defenses as a given. You know, they don't give up big plays. Well, they do. So you should be very, very nervous.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's sort of my question for you coming out of that win is, do you look at it as more of a indicator that, all right, I'm nervous that the top offenses in America might be able to do this to us, or I'm optimistic because a lot of the unknowns on offense I feel better about now because they went out and scored 44 points on the road. I understand that, you know, the field goal goes in, that the outcome is different, but I mean,
yeah.
Are you more of an optimist or a pessimist coming out of the game?
Mondays, I'm always very optimistic. By the time Friday rolls around, I'm Larry Munson, you know, in a home, you know. I'm very pessimistic by the end of the week. It's just, you know, jitters, I'll say it. But I do think that what we saw from the secondary is much more correctable than an offensive scheme that doesn't work or a quarterback that can't get it done. So everybody I've spoken to says that Georgia's issues on defense are correctable. Okay, I'll take his word. These are the same people that said, hey, Gunnar Stockton can let it fly. Georgia can run the ball. Georgia can stop the run. So I deferred to their expertise last week when I said I wasn't worried about, you know, Gunnar and all the doubters that he had. So I will refer to the same people inside the program who say, yeah, we can fix that on the back end. We don't have to worry about it too much. A couple of those were absolute gifts to Tennessee, and you're not going to have that every week. I'm like, okay, well, we saw it, and it happened, but if you're telling me you can fix it, then I'll take you at your word. But having seen the optimism about Georgia's left side of the line, what it can do with its wide receivers, getting the ball to Zachariah Branch or Colby Young or London Humphreys, and I'm very optimistic about Georgia's chances. I'm much more optimistic than I was. I would like to see something come out of the right side of that line. I'd be much more optimistic if Ernest Green and Juan Gaston were healthy. I would be a heck of a lot more optimistic. But that right side of the line is that's pretty rough. And for them to score 44 points, you know, with rotating guys at tackle and guard, that says something pretty good about Georgia's offense.
Well, are we optimistic who will be back first, Gaston or because this thing like this Ernest Green thing is a back, but it's not like it's something that's might linger for a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really messed him up as a freshman. It's it happened, you know, the second quarter this year. Didn't play the second game. Comes back for game three. Can't go the whole time because it's so much strain. It's so much pressure. It's but then, you know, Juan Gaston didn't start, but he came in. So give him 2 weeks off with that midfoot injury, and I think you might see more of Juan Gaston than Ernest Green. And Ernest will probably feel like $100 going into that Alabama game, but how long does it last?
Right.
I mean, anybody's had a back injury, you're like, hey, okay, I feel good. And you get up, you go to work, you think you don't have an issue, but then by the time lunch rolls around, you're popping 47 Advils, you know, and hoping you don't die. So I've we've all been there, you know. A bad back. Backs are tricky, so we'll see.
Preaching to the choir, Roddy.
Yeah, man. I'm
sitting here readjusting throughout. I don't know what the hell happened to my back, man. A 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, I think. But sitting here very uncomfortable all week. Roddy DeBalsi joins us from UGASports.com. Let me ask you this from a big picture perspective. I think we felt like this coming into the year. It's still very early. I don't know how many teams nationally you sort of put into the mix as far as national championship contenders. But to me, Georgia and Tennessee both look like teams that could beat pretty much anybody any given weekend from what happened on Saturday. Is that what you saw from them, and do you put both of them in that category?
Oh, absolutely. I could see these two teams, you know, reuniting in the SEC championship game. I could see them both in the playoffs again, just like last year. But guys, just like they could beat anybody, I would give Tennessee or Georgia the chance to line up against Ohio State and win, beat Oregon, absolutely. But I also could see them losing by 3 touchdowns to either one of them. It's just that game was – it showed to me what we can expect going forward with college football. You're going to have parity, and it's going to come down to one play here or there. I mean, if you think about it from Tennessee's standpoint, they're like, look, this kid's a pretty good field goal kicker. We got back into position after they tied it up, you know. And, I mean, it was a fluke play that it was even tied. 4th and 6, and you go to the end zone on a route that's supposed to go to Zachariah Branch, and – London Humphreys goes all Willie Mays and pulls it in over his shoulder. I mean, that's just a crazy play. And in Tennessee's mind, it shouldn't have been even tied up. But once it is tied, they drive the field and get their kicker in a position to win it, and he misses. So So they should be 3-0. And Kirby Smart himself said, you know, that they were lucky to get out of there, that, you know, Tennessee deserved to win.
So, he was lying.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, you know, their dude felt relieved. And if ever there was a time to use the escapes, you know, we love to say so-and-so escapes, you know, with a win, that would be the point. But, I mean, Ohio State hasn't blown my doors off. Oregon hasn't either. Everybody, there's so much more parity now that just a couple bad plays here or there, and you get a 14-point win, you know, either way. So it's the margin for error has never been as thin as it is now. And we're going to see that all across college football. Nobody's going to be as dominant as those old teams where you had, you know, five stars waiting on the sideline to come in. I mean, think about this. Broderick Jones and Amarius Mims sat on the bench. Georgia had good players ahead of them.
Right.
So you can't do that anymore.
Hey, Rod. Yeah, I know we talked dogs here, but I wonder, because I didn't know if you had spoken on this whole Dabo. It sounded to us like he was threatening Clemson. What did you think about that whole thing?
I don't know. I got some Mark Richt vibes there in his later years, you know, when it was like, what, 10 wins isn't enough for you? But, I mean, even Dabo's got a, you know, a much better record than Richt did. Well, you, what, 8 out of 10 ACC titles isn't enough for you? A couple titles isn't enough for you? I mean, it's – and then, I mean, think about Florida right now. All those people who were ready to run Dan Mullen out of there, you got to be thinking, they're like, man, that was – maybe that wasn't a good idea. So and he also knows that teams with all these people that want to fire their coaches, these teams don't have money like they used to.
Yeah.
These athletic associations now have to pay $20.5 million to their players, which, again, I'm not saying there's a problem there. That's, you know, great for the players. They deserve it. I've got no issues there. But it's not like they can write out a $20, $40, $60 million buyout. They just don't have that money anywhere. There are hiring freezes all across college football. They're cutting back a lot of positions because they have to come up with an additional $20 million every year. And if your coach has a, you know, $30, $40, $60 million buyout, you're like, no, he's good. We're not paying that. Hey, hope you win next year, brother, because we're not firing you just because Joe with Duluth is ticked off. So Joe, it's not going to happen.
Joe in Duluth is furious.
He's very upset right now.
It's going to look like patience, which I love. I love when organizations or programs are patient. It's not going to be. It's just going to be budgets.
It's not. Yeah, you're right. It is not patience at all. It is. It's a hard, cold financial reality.
Yeah, that's
and,
all.
And that's
all
where we are. Yep.
Roddy DeBalsi joins us, UGASports.com. I know Randy asked you about the health of the right side of the offensive line. There's a week and a day until they play Alabama, but just health in general coming out of that win over Tennessee and obviously those guys on the line, but elsewhere also?
Elsewhere is pretty good. I mean, Dwight Phillips got banged up a little bit. A lot of guys are hurt, but there were very few injuries. So, yeah, they're, and again, I'd hate to say that on a – Friday, and then, you know, we report next Tuesday what we're hearing, and it's something bad. But as right now, Georgia has been as frustrating as that right side has been with, you know, losing two guys. It's just the sheer number of players that are actually injured compared to last year is night and day, and we're seeing that. You know, they're able to roll guys in and out, but I mean, last year the list was so long,
right?
And I think this bye week comes at a perfect opportunity to get some guys healthy. And you can take those guys who are hurt and make them feel like $100. And the same thing's going on with Alabama. They're going to get some guys back. So it's going to be very it's going to be a clash of titans next Saturday.
Hey, Rod, the big game in the SEC this weekend, Oklahoma-Auburn. What did you think about that matchup?
I think Auburn's going to win. I'm a real big fan of Oklahoma. Love them here. But I've been a Jackson Arnold guy. And it started when Georgia went looking at him in the portal. I started talking to people in Oklahoma, and they're like, this kid was screwed over here at Oklahoma. And these are people who are big Oklahoma fans. They're like, he didn't get a fair shake. He is really good. He is going to be a monster. If Georgia gets him, you're going to love what he can do. And now I'm seeing him do that at Auburn. And, I mean, Auburn has some really issues, but I'm going to go with the kid going home who has a point to prove over the over the Oklahoma. And I know Coach Don is going to kill me for that because he's a huge Oklahoma guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to tell me I'm wrong. But I don't know, just from the – I've watched too many movies, I guess, as a kid for the guy, you know, who has something to prove. Maybe he goes back and gets his Rocky II moment. So
it's a great storyline. I mean, going back there the next year and it's in Oklahoma and they've got their hot new quarterback that they're excited about. Like if Jackson Arnold's kind of built like that, then it's a big day, a big opportunity to prove it. So I know we're all looking forward to it. Roddy, thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Well, riding to Ballsy there, UGASports.com. Georgia with a bye this weekend, and then right back at it next weekend.
Well, man.
Alabama at home.
Yeah, man. They got them daggone tide coming through this thing, man.
No rest for the weary in the SEC.
It ain't, man. You got to lock. You got to stay lock and loaded, man. You got to stay lock and loaded. And, you know, like Rob was saying, I mean, I think because Kirby, you know, when he played position as far as defensive back, yeah, it was a technique thing. You were out of position. I mean, except for the one play where it was a busted coverage. So Tennessee's receiver just better on that play right there.
Yeah,
they're better.
I know that's going to be something to sort of look at over the next, I don't know, month, couple months with Georgia secondary is, you know, is that a weakness? Is that something teams are going to be able to exploit, or is that just Brazel being 6'5" and better than everybody?
He's better. He's just better than everybody.
Because the dude's a monster.
Yes, he is.
Like, and sometimes there's just guys like that. Problem is, Alabama's got one of them.
Yep.
You know?
And he's a monster.
He's a monster.
Yes,
you know?
When they use him. And then their young quarterback is playing really, really good. Ty Simpson's playing really good since the Florida State game. And so, yeah, the game plan has got to be, you know, as far as defense, I don't see him changing up who he is, which is, the philosophy of Kirby's defense. They got to get some damn pressure.
Yeah, that's the key.
They
make the
pressure.
Quarterback uncomfortable.
Make the quarterback uncomfortable. Damn, yeah. They just don't get any outside pressure.
Aguilar was back there with plenty of time.
He was back there just patting the ball, man, patting the ball, singing that damn raggedy song that they play. And, you know, it was great because I always forget they play it anyways, that Rocky Top crap. But, like, even after we scored game-winning touchdown, everybody's walking on the field, they – strike up the band.
They do like that song.
Yes, they love that song.
Win or lose.
Yes.
That's just really, it's really, really, really their go-to.
Damn.
They really enjoy singing that song.
Yeah, and I can't, I will climb
it.
Damn Rocky Top.
But you can't just sing it when you win.
Yeah.
You got to sing it when you lose,
Damn Rocky Top.
You got to sing it when you lose, too. You got to be thankful. You got to be thankful in defeat.
You get Jim my message.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, okay. No, it was communicated. Jim knows how you feel. But, I'm not 100% over there because obviously I'm not, you are Georgia in the blood. But I was still a little bit like,
what the hell are you doing, man?
What are we doing here?
It's my kid.
Yeah, what are we doing here? I mean, obviously we got Washington, we got App State. We live in the state of Georgia.
Right.
In there.
Jim was behind enemy lines.
And one thing I will say, and this isn't really the reason I'm upset about it, but my kids aren't going to look good in that orange.
No.
We're not the right complexion for it. We're more of a burnt orange.
A burnt orange. Yeah. We're Texas.
We're a Texas orange. Oh, if any.
Right. There we go.
If any.
There
we're
go.
We're not a big
Thank
orange
you.
Family.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour coming up next. A couple Falcons thoughts and then into what's a pretty busy, every Sunday is busy, but some fun matchups in the NFL on Sunday. Recap a little bit of what happened last night as well. Thanks for being with us. It's Funk Friday. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.